Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Biscuits. It is a hockey podcast. It is episode number something. I don't know. I just tried to find what it was, and I've lost track. I am Dave. I am in Brooklyn. I am a Vice Sports sort of employee. Not necessarily a full-time employee, but I love it here. I love coming here every week and seeing the people and chatting up the security guard. He's good times. Up in Ottawa, where's my buddy?
Hey, Dave.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm coming to you from snowy Ottawa, the site of the season's first outdoor game in a few days.
I knew that before you emailed me and reminded me of that yesterday.
There is a huge buzz around the Ottawa Senators hosting an outdoor game.
Wait, let me try and guess who they're playing. It can't be Edmonton. Toronto? Is it Toronto?
No.
It's not Toronto.
Close. They're playing Montreal to mark the anniversary of the first or one of the first NHL games 100 years ago, which the game will not actually be the anniversary of, but it's like 3 days away, so it's close enough.
All right. I mean, it is now the second year of the 100-year anniversary, so you can pretty much do whatever you want at this point. So last night on the other podcast that I do, the Puck Soup podcast with the American, that is not the Canadian, that is Sean, somebody posed a question at the end of the podcast, and I wanted to get your take on it. They wanted to know who would win in a 2-versus-2 fight to the death. Would it be me and you, or would it be Marek and Wyshynski? And the response seemed to be that Marek could take both of us at the same time, but I don't know. I wanted to get your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I don't love our odds on that one. Marek is he seems like he'd be like a sneaky good fighter. Yeah. Like he's all tattooed up and everything.
That is true. He is tattooed.
So he seems like the sort of guy that you'd like. He seems kind of non-threatening, you know, when you see him on TV, but he seems like the guy who'd like secretly like do like amateur MMA in his spare time and just choke. I mean, I'd make a beeline right for Wyshynski. Like there's no, it'd be like an 80s Battle of Alberta brawl where like Gretzky and Curry would just find each other and kind of like go dance off in the corner. And that would be me and Wish. And I'd leave you to get choked out by Marek.
Yeah, I do worry because I feel like Marek has like that junior hockey strength where like he just watches junior hockey fights all the time and like he just would just his forearms could just
And he's a Stouffville guy and there's not a lot to do in Stouffville so other than fight, so yeah, I don't I don't love our odds on that one.
All right, that's what
you do another podcast. I didn't know about this.
Oh, I didn't tell you. Oh. Yeah. Oh wow, this is awkward. Huh. It doesn't mean anything to me the way this one does. It's just something I have to do once a week. It's not. I'm sorry. Okay, I am.
All right, we're gonna get past this. Dave and I are gonna get into counseling and.
it's an open podcast relationship we have.
Apparently it is.
So Erik Karlsson, this is by the way, this is now an Erik Karlsson podcast. That's all this is. That's all we do is talk about Erik Karlsson. Yeah. How's your favorite team doing now that Erik Karlsson?
If if you're going to be the Ottawa Senators and you're about to host the entire hockey world for an outdoor game, like what better time to do it than when your team is imploding? I don't know if you saw it. Apparently, I didn't hear it, but apparently Bob McKenzie was on the radio this morning and he described the Senator situation as, quote, a rocket to hell.
Ooh, I think that's that's AC/DC's third album, isn't it?
That might be, yeah. But I mean, that's I'm not an insider, so I'm not totally up on my hockey terminology, but I feel like rocket to hell is bad.
Yeah, that's gone sideways up there, hasn't it?
It's gone seriously sideways, not just in terms of the team and the one loss record, although that's gone very sideways. I mean, they've lost four straight, which is not good considering before that they had lost seven straight. So, I mean, they've got one win in their last 12 and they are fading badly in the playoff race. Maybe not as badly as they could be, that they're lucky in a sense that they're in the Atlantic Division, which it looks like that third spot is going to be pretty low hanging fruit. But I mean, it's getting ugly on the ice, and then off the ice, it's getting really ugly with this Erik Karlsson thing. Like, it's weird. We talked a week or two ago about the Karlsson and Drew Doughty quotes where they both had similar comments about free agency. And it feels like that's become almost a non-story in LA. Like, they just laughed it off and moved on. And if there was anything to be said, it was said internally and they're past it. Whereas in Ottawa, it's prompted this kind of crisis almost, where we're told that, I guess internally, the Senators didn't like that Erik Karlsson was publicly talking about getting full value when he hit free agency and all that, which I can understand. I think that's reasonable to not necessarily want to see your best player making those kind of comments. But some of the reports seem to suggest that it's, you know, maybe it's more than just somebody somewhere being annoyed, that there were some conversations internally that they may have sat him down. He went and then gave another interview where he basically, it was actually kind of funny because he's giving this interview where he's like, I haven't even thought about free agency. That hasn't even crossed my mind.
And I love that.
You're like, Erik, like we saw what you said 2 days ago. We're aware of that. We kind of saw it. So, but he's clearly sort of backtracking on it. But then the report that came on Saturday on Hockey Night Canada was that the Senators had apparently asked Erik Karlsson to provide them with his list of teams that he would be willing to accept a trade to, as per his limited no trade clause, where he can specify some teams that he can go to and some that he can't. And I guess the story is that the Senators had apparently, we were told, done this for all their players. So it wasn't an Erik Karlsson specific thing. It was they had gone to all the players and said, okay, everybody, we want your lists. Now, since then, there have been reports that may not be the case. Maybe Derek Brassard wasn't asked for a list, or you know, some other guys. But it doesn't seem like they just went to Erik Karlsson. But the fact that they went to him at all has clearly got people here in Ottawa interested and concerned that this could conceivably maybe be heading in a direction where they decide to move on in advance of free agency and pursue a trade situation, which, I mean, you and I, we're well documented that we are all for big trades, but that, man, that would be an awfully hard one for the Senators to pull off and get anything close to fair value for. But maybe they got to think about it, because their season has really gone off the rails at this point.
Okay, first of all, the thing with all of the requests for the trade lists or no trade lists that Ottawa did with all the players, you know what that's like? That's like when you're like 19 years old and you go to the 7-Eleven because you want to buy a Playboy. You're there for the Playboy, right? But you also decide, well, to cover up the Playboy thing, I'm going to buy, you know, some potato chips and some orange juice and some other stuff, and then I'll just throw them all over the Playboy, and then no one will be the wiser that I'm really only interested in the Playboy. They don't care about the other guy's trade list. All they care about is Carlson. So they put it out there that says, well, we asked for everybody's nude. Yeah, but we know who's one you really wanted the most. Like, come on, man. Like, that's a really bad cover. And I love the Erik Karlsson quote. Not the one at the beginning. I mean, the original one was great, too, where he just said, I'm going to make a bunch of money. It's going to be awesome. And then the mea culpa one is great because I was reading it in Elliot's 31 thoughts. And the quote is, Karlsson told Madani, leaving is, quote, not something that I've ever considered. It's all about winning. I want to be on a, and then there's a dash. And he goes, yeah. I've been here for 9 seasons, you know? He's like, I want to be on well, I mean, I've been here for a long time.
Yeah. Like if you read the, maybe it is on tape somewhere, and maybe that would change the context. But if you just read it, it does really read as if
it's Erik Karlsson.
Internal monologue is fighting itself, where it's like, I know what I have to say, like the PR people have told me what points I have to hit, and yet he really does seem to kind of stumble on the whole, like, I don't want to go anywhere, I want to win.
And he says,
I've been here 9 years. And then he says something like, well, and they've always surrounded me with all the pieces I would need to win. And you're like,
that's like a hostage video, man. Like, he's just saying whatever the people want him to say at that point.
You're like looking at his hands going, like, I don't see any rings. Like, are you sure? They did that?
I want to be on it. And you could tell a championship team was the next thing he was going to say. And then he realized, if I say that, that's going to look bad because this isn't a champion. It's just such a great scene, man. I love it. I love this stuff.
It was to go from like, yes, I'm going to get maximum money when, he didn't even say if, when I hit free agency, and like 2 days later you're like, oh, this thing you are describing, it has never even occurred to me. I don't know where. What is free agency?
They got to him, man. It's like an X-Files episode where they're trying to, you know, catch the alien, and then suddenly he's the alien, like, oh my god.
Which is you know, I think that's fair. Like, I don't think the Senators are wrong to like sit him down and be like, dude, not like, don't talk about this publicly, and definitely don't do it when we've lost 7 in a row and the season is like, you know, like Drew Doughty can.
And also he has like no points in those 7 games. Like, Karlsson hasn't been doing anything either. Is the other funny part of this that I like.
Yeah. So it's there is like, you know, there's a lot of articles being written here in Ottawa about, you know, it's time to shake things up. It's time to make a trade. Is it time to make a coaching change? I mean, they can't do that. I mean, you'd think the Senators have got such a reputation for burning through coaches, after what Guy Boucher did last year, it would seem like just ridiculous to even be thinking about that. But it feels like, you know, this is a team that needs a major move, and you know, who do you move? Like, who, if it's not Karlsson, and we can assume that, you know, even if Erik Karlsson was traded, that wouldn't be something that would just be pulled together quickly. That, I mean, we're talking, you know, the deadline probably at the earliest.
Yeah.
You know, who else do you move? Like, what's like, nobody's calling you up for Bobby Ryan right now. Like, nobody wants Dion Phaneuf. No one's giving you a season changing deal for Zach Smith. So, you know, there's a handful of guys, you know, like if they were going to move Mike Hoffman, that would certainly,
that's probably the guy. I mean, like
that'd be the guy, or Mark Stone is the other one where, I mean, you get a lot for him, and he's got a contract coming up soon. So, you know, maybe that's a situation where you try to get ahead of that one. But here's the real interesting thing, I think, for Ottawa, because, and this is something that I think people are only kind of grasping the significance of in the last little while as things have gotten real bad, and it's starting to look like that, you know, this team really may not be very good, is like when they made the Matt Duchene trade and they gave up Kyle Turris and they gave up prospects and they gave up draft picks, including their first round pick this year. And when that trade was announced, shortly after it trickled out that they had worked in some protection for that pick, and that if this year's pick were to end up being a top 10 pick, they would get to keep it, and it would then be next year's first round pick that would go to the Avalanche. And when we heard that, I think a lot of us, certainly myself, our reaction was, hey, well, that's a smart move by Pierre Dorion there. That's a smart move by the Senators. They're protecting themselves against the worst case scenario. You know, they were a playoff team at the time they made the trade. They were coming off a trip to the conference finals. You think they've just gotten better by adding Matt Duchene. You got to think they're not going to wind up with a top 10 pick, but who knows? Maybe somebody gets hurt. Maybe things go bad. Maybe they just miss the playoffs and then they win the lottery. You know, whatever the situation is, good job by him to build in some protection so that if worse comes to worse, they don't lose a top 10 pick. But we're sitting here a month later, and now suddenly worse comes to worse feels a lot different. And it starts to feel like maybe this isn't a team that could just slip into the bottom 10. Maybe this is a team that is kind of broken to take a step back and go into rebuild and repair mode. And if that's the case, how do you do that when, in theory, the way to approach that would be you try to strip down a little bit this year, but then next season would be the season you'd be aiming for. Next season would be the one where you'd say, this is when we're going to hit rock bottom, and then we start the climb. And how do you do that if it looks more and more likely like you're going to have a top 10 pick this year, which means you'll keep it, which means the Colorado Avalanche will get your 2019 pick no matter what, because that doesn't have any protection on it. And you could potentially be in a situation where you need to rebuild and you don't own your first round pick for the season you need to rebuild in, which I can tell you from experience as a Maple Leafs fan, having been through this three different times, is the absolute worst case, most miserable season that you can have as a fan, to watch your team be terrible and not even have your first round pick. And that's suddenly the situation that the Senators seem like they might be facing.
Well, what would you do, say, let's say the lottery balls come out and the cards are picked, and let's say Ottawa is picking eighth this year. Would you, as an Ottawa Senators general manager, would you say, all right, you know what, you take that pick, we're gonna give you that? Or would you stick to the protection thing and say, actually, we're gonna keep that pick and then you can take ours next year? Because I think I'd give away the eight.
Well, that's the question, and it's kind of a fascinating one for a couple reasons. First of all, I don't think we know the technical details. Like, I don't know whether that becomes the Ottawa's option to give away the pick or whether it just gets locked in.
That's a good point. Color. Yeah, I don't know either.
But even if it was locked in, the Senators could always go to the Avalanche and say, look, take the eighth pick and, you know, in exchange for the pick that you own next year. Cause that's always interesting. I mean, if you voluntarily give up, let's say, an eighth overall pick, you're basically signaling that you think
you'll be worse.
It's more
year.
Likely than not, you're going to be worse next year, which is, I mean, you know, we've kind of laughed a bit over the last year at some of the panic over Ottawa's attendance issues and not selling out for playoff games and this and that. And I do think that's been overblown. But to send that message to a market like Ottawa that, hey, you know, we don't even think we're going to be a top eight team next year, that's a pretty tough one. And if it comes down to a situation where you don't automatically have that right and you have to negotiate it, if you're Colorado, do you take this year's eighth pick, or do you say, you know what, we're gonna roll the dice and take next year's pick from you, knowing that that decision might make the difference between Ottawa saying we're going to rebuild and bottom out, or saying we can't rebuild, so we might as well reload and try to make a run at the playoffs. Like, there's a lot of pieces moving here. And like, I'll be honest, I like what they did with Matt Duchene at the time. I didn't really think through what it would mean if things got this bad this quickly, because it didn't occur to me looking at this team that things could go as far south as they've gone.
Well, if you trade Erik Karlsson, you should absolutely give up whatever, you know, late top 10 pick you get this year, because you're most definitely going to be worse next year. But I don't know. I'm like, what's the number for you where you'd be like, all right, we're going to hold on to the pick and then give you the 2019 pick, as opposed to like what is six? Would you keep the six? I feel like we're doing a Price is Right game where it's like, you have the six. Now, do you want us to keep the six, or do you, and the crowd's like, go, they're holding up like five fingers, five, go to the five. I think I would keep six and any six and below and give Colorado anything above that.
Yeah. Teams are weird about this. Like that's the thing, right? There's what's the best decision for the team, which isn't necessarily what's the best decision for the ticket sales department, which is not necessarily what's the best decision for Pierre Dorion. Because if he goes to Eugene Melnyk and says, yeah, we're going to give up the eighth pick this year because we think we're going to be even worse next year, what's stopping Eugene Melnyk from going, well, wait a second, I can finish in the bottom five with a different GM. Right? You're the one who made this trade. You're the one who set this team up for what we thought was going to be success. And is it better as a GM to sort of bluff your way through and just hope that you get one of those seasons where maybe you outperform what you should?
You like last year?
Like last year. Exactly.
Get one of those again?
Yeah. I mean, I was reading a piece last week. They said that's the absolute number one challenge for a team it's not when things are going bad, it's when things are going good to realistically look at it and say, okay, are we actually good, or did we fluke into this a little bit? And it's certainly, you know, there were some examples given. It's starting to seem like Ottawa might be there, and maybe not. I mean, this is a team where I think all of us saw some holes in the roster, and all of us kind of felt like last year's playoff run was based, I don't want to say on luck, but you know, they got favorable matchups.
They got a lot of lightning in the bottle. They got a lot of lightning in the bottle.
That would be a good way to put it. Yeah. That would be a good way to put it. And you know, we weren't, you know, I didn't see a single prediction that had the Senators going back to the conference final this year. In fact, and I saw a lot of predictions that have missing playoffs. I didn't see any that had them as potentially a bottom five team, which is where they might be headed. And the mood here is ugly right now. And by the way, I mean, you talk about timing of the outdoor game. Looking even shorter term than that, we're recording this Tuesday morning. Tuesday night, the Ottawa Senators are in Buffalo to play the Buffalo Sabres, which, on the one hand, if you desperately need a win, there's no team you'd rather be facing right now than the Sabres. On the other hand, if you're on a so-called rocket straight to hell,
I love Bob,
and you go and you lose to the Sabres, I mean, that's I don't know what rock bottom looks like, but I'm pretty sure losing to the Buffalo Sabres might just be it. And then,
now that I'm thinking about it, when he says Ottawa's on a rocket to hell, did he mean they were just flying to Buffalo? Is that maybe what he meant?
Maybe that's it. Yeah, maybe it's just describing their travel
plans. Yeah, that could be just Buffalo he's talking about. Well, before we talk about something else on the Eric Carlson podcast, are you trading him this year, or are you going to hang on to him?
This is my thing is if let's for the sake of argument, and because I'll put my prediction out there. I still think this gets resolved. I think he re-signs. He probably signs a contract that maybe ends up being a little bigger than the Senators would want, and maybe they end up 5 years from now kind of regretting it a bit. But they can't extend him until July. I think they hold on to him. I think they delay and stall a little bit. And I think the deal gets done and we kind of look back on this and go, okay, maybe it wasn't as bad as it seems. But for sake of argument, let's say that's not the case. Let's say you're the Senators and internally you've got either Eugene Melnyk saying there's no way I expect this guy to take $7 million and be happy about it and I'm not paying him anymore. Or maybe Eric Carlson has signaled to you that he is really not happy and he wants to go somewhere else, or whatever the reason is, you feel like, yeah, we've got to move him. You know, I always feel like teams in this situation, when you've got a guy who has this year and next year left on his deal, and you're talking about a moving a guy, teams always seem to want to wait till the summer. Mm-hmm. They always seem, you know, for all the same, you know, there's going to be more cap space. There'll be more teams. To me, I mean, don't you get a lot more for a guy like Erik Karlsson now?
Oh, yeah.
If the team getting him knows they're getting two playoff runs instead of one, even if they can't, you know, even if they can't re-sign him. I mean, if you're a Stanley Cup contender right now and this is your window, you wouldn't want two Erik Karlsson playoff runs? Like, it seems to me like you'd be willing to give up a lot for that. And, I mean, I know that trading is oh so complicated these days, but you got 3 months before the deadline to make something happen. It seems like now would be the time to do it, but I don't know. Like, this is so much more than a hockey deal in Ottawa. This is how do you work the PR? How do you, you know, let's not forget the Senators are in the middle of trying to get a new arena. They've got that going on too. So, and that's kind of been an up and down process where they're trying to get this downtown arena where you finally won't have to drive for an hour outside of town to get to a game. You know, how do you put that? I mean, imagine if the Flames were doing what they're doing and in the middle of trading Johnny Gaudreau at the same time. Like, that situation to manage. The team might, according to the rumor mill, could potentially be for sale at some point. How do you, you know, how does that impact things if your number one player has just been sent out the door? Like, there's so many pieces here, and it goes so far beyond just what's going to win us the most games as a hockey team that I would not want to be Pierre Dorion right now. You couldn't pay me enough to try to sort through this mess that's appeared.
The rumor mill, are they still hiring? Like, do you still get the black lung at the rumor mill? Like, do you get like those really bad rumors stuck in your lungs and you can't swim anymore?
It's all the smoke from the hot stove.
Oh God,
that's,
I know.
That's like, all those hot stoves at the rumor mill. They're just, oh, it's terrible.
Here, so I'm of the mind of, it just seems like Erik Karlsson doesn't want to be there. It seems like the Senators can't afford him. Like, if you look at their cap situation next year, they have so much money already tied up in a bunch of players. And, like, the cap's going to go up a little bit next year. But I don't know how much that helps Ottawa when they don't want to spend money to begin with.
And, well, that's the thing. Like, everybody always says, well, the Senators aren't a cap team. Right now, they almost are.
They're close.
They are spending a lot this year. And they're locked in on a lot of these. And a lot of these contracts are not, like, Dion Phaneuf, $7 million through 2021. Bobby Ryan, over $7 million through 2022. I mean, Craig Anderson, they signed him to a two-year extension that hasn't even kicked in yet, and he looks very 36 years old now this season. And they've already locked it. They didn't have to. They had all year to get a look at him and decide if they wanted to continue, and they already gave him an extension. I mean, just purely from a cap perspective, they're already tight, let alone if they want to go back to what they usually have been, which is a team that's, you know, $10 million under the cap. And
like, if you're Erik Karlsson and you look at that, why would you want to stay? I mean, obviously his contract will be the year after that, but, you know, it just doesn't seem like a situation that's going to get better if he's making 12 or 11 or $10 million. Why not? If it seems like for both sides, a trade makes the most sense. But
I can very much see why Erik Karlsson would want to explore other options. Now, I can also see why he would want to stay. I mean, this is where he's made his home. This is the only team he's ever known. He's got, I think he has his first child on the way. You know, there's not many of us would want to pick up and move, you know, halfway across a continent if we could avoid it. But
hiring for your small business, if you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, I don't know. This is, if he really does, I mean, you know, we talk about what is it that motivates a player when they get the situation. I mean, you know, is it about winning or is it about the money? I think you can make a case that if it's about either winning or the money,
right,
Ottawa isn't necessarily a great fit for him.
And plus,
if it's about loyalty, then that's a different thing. Well, loyalty, then he's going to stay with the Senators, but his comments at least have seemed to make it pretty clear that maybe it's not. And let's be honest, the Senators franchise is not one that has really earned a lot of credibility in the loyalty department. I mean, they've had bad breakups with just about every star player they've ever had. So for them to suddenly turn around and say, you know, we expect some loyalty back. I mean, Erik Karlsson has shown the loyalty by playing under a below market contract for years and never, that I'm aware of, saying one word of complaint about it. That's the loyalty. I don't see why he's under any obligation to do it again.
Telling you, we trade Karlsson to Nashville. Tavares signs in Nashville. We get Doughty there the next year.
This is your super team idea, right?
Super team. And now the cap. And so that goofy thing I wrote for Vice last week about the super team was kind of based on the thing on the salary cap being like $80 million in 2 years. And now next year it might be 80 or 82 million. So already that's some extra money that I didn't think was going to exist. So it's never going to happen. I know this. I'm an idiot, but I'm not stupid. But man, would that be, can you imagine just going down the middle, Ryan Johansson, John Tavares, Kyle Turris, throwing out Roman Josi, PK Subban, Erik Karlsson, Matthias Ekholm, Drew Doughty. And you could do it. You just got to take a little short-term, you know, discount. Yeah. Not saying anybody signs a 7-year, $35 million deal. Just like 2 years. Go there and win a couple cups, then go get some money after that.
And like I told you, the two things I love about this idea, number one, hockey fans would lose their minds.
Oh, it'd be great.
Hockey fans would absolutely hate this. And by the way, every now and then, like when a new CBA comes around, I hear hockey fans who are like, they should put a cap on the player contracts. They should put a cap on, you know, shorter contracts. One guy shouldn't be able to get $12 million a year. And it's like, if look at the NBA. As soon as you artificially limit what each player can make, then this is what you get, right? The players go, okay, well, if I'm going to make the same money in any team I sign with, I'm going to pick the team I want to play with. And then suddenly it's like, oh, yeah, like you're sitting there in like Winnipeg or Columbus going, oh, yeah, we'll get a lot of players. And yeah, no, they're all going to LA and wherever else. But the other thing that'd be beautiful about this is watching this super team like roll over the league, win 60 games, and then lose in the first round because some minor league goalie went on a hot streak for 2 weeks.
Right.
And that's all it takes to, you know, and then they lose to the Minnesota Wild because Devin Dubnyk got hurt and, you know, some guy who once played high school in Minnesota shows up and makes 57 saves a night, and that's hockey, and you're out.
That would be, I mean, like in basketball, when you have all the best players, there's really no luck involved in basketball. It's just guys who are good at shooting and rebounding and passing are just good at it, and then the team is good at it. But in hockey, there's at least enough luck and randomness where the 150 point regular season team won't necessarily run over everybody. And it's not a foregone. People are like, oh yeah, I want to really get bored until the Stanley Cup.
Because you wouldn't, I mean, the NBA is, I'm not a basketball fan, but the NBA, I don't understand how people sit through an entire season and three rounds of playoffs when it feels like we all know who's playing in the final on opening night.
The playoffs, like, the playoffs, I agree, are kind of boring because you're just waiting for that. But like in the regular season, like there's ton. Like I watched was it Warriors Pistons the other day? Like there's actually good. Like Celtics Spurs was a good game last week. There's always good regular season games when you have the really good teams. Yeah. And hockey only has like two of those, and it's just, and they're never on TV. So,
well, that's like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's because I like vaguely follow the Raptors, and you know, they've been good for a few years, and whenever I'm asking someone like, hey, are the Raptors going to be, they're like, oh, they could win the division. And I'm like, really? So they got a chance at a championship? And they're like, oh no, they can't. Like they'll go out in the second round for sure, but yeah, they could.
But hockey wouldn't have that because of the whole lucky bounce coin flip situation.
Especially these days. Like, cause that's the thing. Like if you're old enough to remember like the Islanders days and the Oilers days, especially the Oilers days, like, on the one hand, that team was amazing. And when the Oilers came to town, that was a really big deal. You could go and see the Edmonton Oilers, it was this phenomenal team. But there was also kind of a sense that, like, I, you know,
yeah,
how invested can you get? I mean, like, the NHL, and this is obviously the other extreme. The NHL had a stretch where for 13 years, three teams won 12 of the 13 cups. It was four Montreal, four Islanders, and four out of five Edmonton. Like, you know, when the Oilers and the Islanders played each other in back-to-back finals, that was awesome. Because you were like, yeah, this is it. This is the matchup we've all been waiting for. But it was kind of in that NBA vibe where for the rest of the year, you were like, oh, this is, yeah, yeah, we all know where this is going already. But you're right. It wouldn't be that way now, because even today, an NHL super team would not be what those Islanders and Oilers teams were like. Like, the gap just can't get that wide in today's league.
And I still think, even though it's, you know, maybe even let's say it's a foregone conclusion that Nashville will go to the Cup final or whatever, I would still like to watch Nashville trounce somebody in game 22. You know, like, I'd still like to watch them just murder someone in game 35. But I get it. NHL, that was the best part too, was the comments. Was I knew when I compared them to the NBA, people would have been like, yeah, the NBA, why don't you go watch LeBron get carried off with a toenail injury? Like, I knew there was going to be that stuff, but I was surprised by the number of people who were like, oh, we're going to ruin the best regular season in sports. And I'm like, what?
What?
You mean the NFL regular season? You mean the NHL? You really like it? Oh, because you never know. It's so tight in the standings. Like, the Metros, there's only 4 points separating. Like, yeah, I mean, that's great, but I mean, I don't know.
I don't care
about that. But
I, you know, like, all the parity in the NHL doesn't create the best regular season in sports.
Yeah,
right. It creates the best first round of the playoffs in sports. The first round of the playoffs is fantastic because you got 16 teams, and you're right. You don't know who's going to win, and, you know, like, it's all these different things happening. Like, I don't know. I'm maybe not getting the same mid-December broadcasts as other people if they think this 6 month regular season is the best in sports. But
yeah
I don't know. It'd be fun. How about this? Let's make this deal. We make the Predator super team happen, but they have to keep Pekarinen in goal.
Yeah,
that's how we even it up for everyone else. That
just to give them a chance
for both the years. You don't. Yeah.
Yeah,
that
is the part of the super team where if I was like, oh, right, they need a goalie. Who's a free agent that year? Oh, look at Bobrovsky's available. Let's give him Bobrovsky for $5.5 million that year. Yeah, Rene would kind of level the playing field, because, you know, he would just stink for 2 weeks during the season and then for like an entire round in the playoffs, and that would give the other team a chance. I'm with you. Yeah, that's fair.
That's it. I want to see a super team winning games. Because that's what made the Oilers fun. You know, they won every game, but it was like 10-5. So, you know, it was like, that's what I want to bring back. Let's get Pekka Rinne and the super team.
You don't even need goalies anymore, apparently, based on what the Vegas Golden Knights are doing. They're just throwing kids from junior in there.
Yeah.
Malcolm Subban couldn't make a save for years, and now he's a potential comeback
Montreal
player of the year.
Canadian, like, you know, have Carey Price gets injured, and, you know, some guy nobody's ever heard of just gets dropped in and
gets
pummeled. By the way, I'm almost as good as Carey Price. I don't know if you guys knew that. I'm just gonna show you now. And, like, basically every goalie in this league is I mean, look at the Leafs. The Leafs and Oilers play on Sunday night, the two young offense run and gun teams, and they play there's a goal 30 seconds into the game, and
that's it.
It finishes 1-0 as Curtis McElhinney makes 41 saves.
That happened last night. That happened last night too, almost, with the Rangers Dallas game. Like, I didn't get to see it, but I check it on my phone and I see that the Rangers have 10 shots through two and, like, Dallas has like 35, and it's 1-0. And everyone's like, wow, Lundqvist must be playing really well. No, actually, Pavlik's in net tonight. Oh, really? And it was 1-1.
Literally, every NHL goalie is just, there's every single NHL goalie, and then there's, like, Antti Niemi, and that's it. Those are the two categories. You just got poor Antti Niemi just with his bag slung over his shoulder, just making the rounds of the entire league, playing for every team in 1 year.
Just knocking on doors.
And every other goalie is exactly the same.
Anyone here need a guy that can give up four goals on 9 shots? I'm looking for work.
He's like the guy that the NHL just drops in every time So you notice like he always won every time there's a market where people are going like, maybe goaltending doesn't matter. Like Pittsburgh's sitting there going like, yeah, we invested all this stuff in Marc-Andre Fleury and this Murray kid comes along and wins a cup. Maybe goaltending. Oh, okay. You guys get Antti Niemi. You're going to learn your lesson for a little bit. And like the Panthers are like, I don't know, Luongo, Reimer. I'm not sure. And maybe these guys are the same. Okay. So now you get Antti Niemi. And Montreal is like, hey, Carey Price, maybe is it, this kid is almost as good as, all right, now you're up next. Who wants him now? The Maple Leafs right now are just trying not to say anything about Curtis Magalhaes because that means they'll be the next to get the anti.
You know what we should do for the All-Star game is just do it the way they've been doing it, 3-on-3, but just clone Antti Niemi twice. So there's 3 Antti Niemis that we can use during the games, and then this way, there's no saves, there's just no goal, or it's just all goals in the All-Star game. There's nothing.
You know what they should do? They should bring him to the skills competition and bring back like, remember like the silly breakaway contest where they tried to do it like,
oh yeah,
like their equivalent of the slam dunk contest, but then they hit the problem where you need a goalie, and so like the goaltenders would have to go there, but they wouldn't actually move. And then like at one point, I think they brought kids out and they let the kids be the goalie. Let's let Antti Niemi be the goalie and tell him to really try his best. So it's like him doing his absolute best against like Patrick Kane in a Superman cape with like roller skates and a baseball bat instead of a hockey stick. And it's just like, let's see. Yeah. My money's on Kane.
Niemi's yeah, like talking to like the person before he goes to the net. So you want me to just get out of the way of the puck? No, no, no. You can try. No, can try as hard as you want. It. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh.
You literally, you will make $10,000 for every save.
He's like,
to a charity? Sure, if you want.
If you want to call yourself that, that's fine.
You do with it what you want, but oh yeah. That's okay. So I think we've accidentally fixed the All-Star Skills competition.
Yeah, did you want to fix outdoor games? I knew that was on your docket today. I don't know if you still have time to fix it, but
yeah, I kind of threw that out there, but I don't know that I have a major fix. By the way, one other thing that I just want to point out about the Ottawa outdoor game that is just amusing me is it's being held at the football stadium, which is not a very nice football stadium. It's fine. It's a CFL stadium. It's old. They've renovated it. They made the area around it really nice, but it's not like, I mean, the football stadium here looks like a high school football stadium from the US, but meanwhile, they've also got this rink at Parliament Hill. And originally that's where they wanted to have the outdoor game. And they just logistically couldn't do it. They couldn't figure out a way to have the outdoor game there, but they still built a rink there and people can go and skate. And I think they're having the alumni game there. And what's making me laugh is I keep seeing these ads and these bumpers for the outdoor game. And every time they show the Parliament Hill rink, like there's this effort underway to just get like, if we just, maybe people will just think the game's at Parliament Hill and not in like a dungy concrete football stadium.
Is it that bad? Is it worse than, because I went to the Montreal Calgary one at McMahon Stadium. I thought that was fine.
It would be similar to that. Like it's not a bad, but it's not like, you know, these outdoor games you're used to like tuning in and seeing this like, oh my God, it's the Green Monster of Fenway. It's this or that. And it's not that. And Parliament would have been that. That would have been awesome to have like the Parliament buildings right behind and everything. But I guess they just couldn't figure it out. But I saw a bunch of ads this week and they kept showing the Parliament Hill and like the buildings in the background. And I'm like, that's not where the game is. And it's going to be fun on Saturday here when like a bunch of fans show up at Parliament Hill looking for an NHL game and are disappointed to find out that they gotta take the bus down to the football stadium.
They're just parking their cars and sitting on the roofs and trying to figure out if they can get a good angle to see the game. Do you see Eric Carlson out there? No, maybe they traded him. I don't see anybody. What's going on?
Yeah, I don't see. It's kind of weird. No, I guess they really did. They took this rebuild seriously.
My outdoor solution is either 2 games a year, one in Canada, one in the US, and that's it, or 31 outdoor games a year where everybody gets to have an outdoor game. One or the other. None of this meeting in the middle, 4, 6, whatever it's going to be outdoor.
The year with 6 was so
That was too much. That was crazy. That was like, sorry about the lockout. Here's a bunch of outdoor games.
I would say two games. I'm open to the idea of moving the All-Star game outside, mm-hmm. kind of killing two birds with one stone. But mm-hmm. the other thing I would do is if you're only going to do two games, you got to move it around and you got to work more teams into this. It can't be like, you know, we joke about the Blackhawks being in every outdoor game. But I mean, it can't be the same half dozen teams every single year. Like, you got to move it around. And it's weird because the NHL doesn't do this with the All-Star game, right? The NHL doesn't, like, when it comes to the All-Star game, they don't say, hey, look, this is our marquee event. We need good TV numbers. We need to, you know, to really make an impact. So it's the All-Star game can only ever be in Chicago, New York, LA, like five places.
Don't give them ideas.
They move it around, right? They're like, you know, they'd never be like, no, we can't have an All-Star game in Carolina. I'm sorry. There's just not, it's not going to do big ratings. We can't go to Columbus. They understand that, no, you got to move this around. And I get that you don't want terrible teams in your signature events, but, you know, this year with both Ottawa and Buffalo notwithstanding, but like the fact that Tampa hasn't been in an outdoor game is kind of ridiculous, or the fact they haven't found a way to get like the Dallas Stars into a game, like let's figure this out and let's not have it be Chicago, Pittsburgh, Washington, Philadelphia in some combination every single year.
And then Buffalo once every 10. Buffalo is just the once a decade team that comes back. I still say Tampa, Nashville at Bristol Motor Speedway. You won't pack the place, but it would still be great. Two super awesome, good, fun to watch teams.
I never heard that idea before. I like that.
Wait, are you being serious?
No, I
wasn't sure because I feel like I shout that one a lot, but I forget if I'm shouting it into a microphone or I'm just like crying in the shower and I'm just like, I want Tampa Nashville in an outdoor game. Maybe, and I just forget where the context is.
Maybe it was on your other podcast.
Oh, are we going to do this now in front of everybody? Can we just wait till we get home to talk about it?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't want to make a scene. Don't do this.
Do your reader questions. They're so important to you.
You're important to me. That's what's important. We got a mess of them. We got a ton of them. We got a bunch of questions.
We went and asked like four different times.
Yeah, we got a cool new, once again,
left ourselves 4 minutes to do them.
Well, it's 10:51 right now. We have a good solid 7 or 8 minutes to get to these. Oh, here you go. Tim, who goes by TViper21. Do you think his last name is Viper? Do you think like he's like part snake? Like he's, I don't know. What teams are 100% toast at this point? Red Wings and Senators? Do you guys see any dramatic changes coming to those clubs? I feel like Buffalo, Arizona, and Edmonton are toast. And Ottawa's toast.
Even Edmonton, I'm not fully willing to say toast. No. But again, this is me. This is the same. I did the same thing with Tampa and Dallas all last year. So I will be right there
right till the end.
Way too long. I mean, Buffalo, obviously, Arizona, obviously. I feel like Florida is there. I feel like Detroit is there. Ottawa is almost there, but the thing with Ottawa is, the Atlantic is easier. I up until they let Boston play some games. Like, why is Boston 5 games behind everyone else?
I know.
That is really screwing up the standings. And it's screwing me up because I hear from angry Bruins fans every single time. Every time I make some reference to like, oh, the Canadiens moved into a playoff spot, and like someone's out there, well, like on a points percentage basis, and it's like, well, yeah, but that's yeah. That's my Boston should have to play. Boston has to play 5 games over Christmas, just get caught up with everyone else.
All in one day. Yeah, you don't think Edmonton's done? I feel like that's just too big a hole at this point.
Edmonton is, they're 8 points out.
That's a lot of points now.
If it was any other team, I would, like, if Colorado or Vancouver was 8 points out, I'd say they were done. I don't know. I was so wrong about where this team was headed that I feel like I just have to pretend I'm still on board for at least a little while longer.
like I kept thinking like, all right, at some point they're going to pass Vegas because Vegas is Vegas. But now it's to the point where they're like 14 points behind Vegas with what, 50 games to play. They don't have any depth. No one's making any saves for them. I've been harping on this all season. And I know people are sick of it, but again, when you look at the standings and you say, "Oh, they're 8 points out with 50 games to go. There's so much time left." The Rangers were 2-6-2 to start the season, and they were probably 4 points out of a playoff spot at that point. And they went 11-2 in their next 13 games, and they still weren't in a playoff spot. That's how hard it is to get out of a hole in the NHL, where you can rip off 22 out of 26 points and still not be in. And Edmonton's further out than they were. So,
especially if you're like Edmonton, where you're chasing six or seven teams, like a few of those teams are going to be almost as hot, and you don't gain ground. Yeah, I don't. I mean, you could definitely talk me into Edmonton, but I'm hesitating on that, and I'm still hesitating just a bit.
I talked you into a thing last year that I was wrong about. I forget what it was, but I remember you not being happy about it. Whatever it was, there's something you were like, yeah, I'm on board, and then it turned out you were right.
What the hell was it? Didn't you talk me out of I picked the Rangers to beat the Canadians, and I think you talked me out of that.
Yeah, I really. And then they lost Rangers. They lost to Ottawa then too. God, stupid team. Mike Morton. Mike Morton wants to know if the Jets could walk away from Dustin Byfuglien's contract. Would they do it
right now? That's I mean right now things are going pretty good in Winnipeg, so they probably wouldn't want to do anything that would disrupt it. But I contract is okay, mainly because it's only got 3 more years after this one, which is not, I mean, that's still a lot, especially if it's not a great deal. Like, he doesn't have any goals this year. He's kind of seems to have fallen off. But I feel like in today's NHL, like, the contracts that scare me are the ones that have 7 or 8 years left. 3 years, I feel like you can manage that. I feel like you can even trade your way out of that if you need to. So I'm going to say that was the beauty of that deal when he signed it. Even though it was a high risk deal, it was only a 5-year deal. So that, you know, you sign a 5-year deal, even if it goes bad right away, it takes you 1 year. You kind of go, "Oh, that's a fluke." It takes you 2 years to realize it's a really bad deal, and then, you know, 3. You can trade those deals. You can retain salary. You can buy them out. I feel like he's worth holding on to.
This is 3 years left. This is a combination of a bunch of different questions, but thoughts on Seattle and thoughts on the idea that Houston could be a relocation spot for either Calgary or Carolina.
Yeah. I mean, Seattle sounds like it's going to happen. That makes sense. They've been in the mix almost every time the NHL has talked expansion, going back to the 70s. So it's the right time. And the league talked itself into this idea that they absolutely had to have a Western team so they could balance the conferences after they moved Detroit and Columbus. So that's fine. I think they've got, on paper, they've got a better shot than we would have said Vegas did a year or two ago. So I'm good with that. The Houston thing, I mean, Houston is, if you're going to give a team to Seattle, you need to have some other boogeyman waiting in the distance that you can use to scare teams with, right? That can be the threat. And I think people are starting to take the Quebec thing a little less seriously. So
now it's Houston.
I mean, now it's Houston. The Flames aren't moving to Houston. Like, we can put that out there. That was the thing that came out this week where, you know, they want their arena, and they, you know, they have to sort of play the politics to get it, but they're not the like, Calgary's one of the 15 best hockey markets in this league easily. So they're not going to move to some place like Houston, and they can't. It's not like you can't just, as an owner in the NHL, you can't just pick up your team and move it wherever you want just because you didn't get an arena or didn't get this or that. So, some of the other teams that are struggling more, maybe more of an option. Carolina's apparently got the ownership sorted out now. Florida would be the big one, but again, then you get into the East-West conference thing. So I don't know. I'm not sure where a team for Houston comes from, but they're probably next in line. But next in line might have to wait a long time.
I still say there's too many teams in the New York area. There's 2 NFL teams. There's 2 baseball teams. There's 3 hockey teams. Makes no sense to me. There's just not enough. Like,
So contract the Rangers, is that?
Get rid of the Rangers. By the way, congratulations on the Rangers, to the Rangers on being the richest team in the Forbes valuations at $1.5 billion. Because it's a great story for America, because it shows that you don't have to be successful to be rich. You can just look
just
into it.
Just a reminder to all the Forbes readers out there. Do not pay any attention. The NHL disavows the Forbes rankings. They are way too low. The NHL has way, way more money and way more financial success than Forbes gives them credit for, right up until it's time for a lockout, at which point the NHL is poor and destitute and on the verge of bankruptcy and desperately needs a brand new system.
And they can't show you the books to prove it. Well, that's this week's episode of Vice Sports' podcast, Biscuits, a hockey podcast. Thank you for listening. Sorry for just cutting off Sean there as he was about to make a good Forbes joke. Finish your Forbes joke. Do your Forbes bit. Yeah, let's finish.
I don't have a Forbes bit. You probably did me a favor by cutting me off there.
Yeah. So check us out on Twitter, Vice Biscuits. Go to the iTunes and hit 5 stars and tell us how awesome we are. And read our internet words on the internet. And thanks again for listening.
Thanks, everybody. And please listen to our podcast and nobody else's.
God damn it. Why do you hate me? Why do you do this to me? Goodbye, everybody.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.